morning. My name is Wayne Randolph, and I am one fifth of the teaching team here at Liminal Church in Ventura. If you are new here, welcome. Maybe you've checked us out online, but good morning. If you are new, let me let you know you walked in on an interesting Sunday. We're trying to do some new rhythms here. So those of you who are new or visiting, let me let you know about today. Good morning, welcome back. We are doing a contemplative Sunday, the last Sunday of the month, in which we take some time, some intentional time to set up a rhythm where maybe we move away from just overstimulating and engaging our minds in the theological sense, but really allowing us to sit with it, sit with what we've been learning, learn how to integrate it into our lives, and maybe introduce some contemplative practices. So welcome to Contemplative Sunday. It might be a little bit different than you're used to. Side note, and it's not even a side note because I'm just looking at kids. It's probably a great time to let our kids go out. So if you've got littles, like that big and smaller, they go that way. And if they're that big and taller, they go upstairs. So junior high and high school upstairs, middle school, and everybody else, go on that way. And you're going with the lovely Kelsey. Right on. Thank you, guys. We often have a service host or someone doing announcements, and I'm still kind of getting used to this rhythm as well, so forgive me if I'm not doing jumping jacks and stuff for you. This last few weeks, we have been looking at communication, and specifically, what does it look like? How do we have deep conversations with people who think differently than we do? And still walk away with our friendships and our relationships intact. And we believe that looking to Jesus and many of his teachings, that there's lots that we can learn in that realm. In particular, we spent some time, thank you, Jenny, spent some time talking about listening. What does it mean to be good listeners? We took some time last week, again, thank you, Jenny, to talk about talking. How do we talk with the mind of Christ, with the heart of the Christ, with the soul of Christ? How do we acknowledge the other, honoring them and recognizing God in them when we talk with them? And in between that, I did a little kind of intro session on the Enneagram. And talked a lot about how in order for us to actually correct any of our behaviors, we have to first learn how to observe our behaviors. And so we spent some time on that. Today in our Contemplative Sunday, I like to just give you some practical tools. These are tools that I use in my own life. I'm not giving you these tools in any sort of lofty sense as like, hey, I'm nailing this. I'm nailing this life thing. Because I'm not. I'm still working. I'm still trying stuff out. I'm still falling down, but I'm getting back up, and I keep on pursuing God. These particular tools that some mentors in my life have passed on to me, they have been monumental in me learning how to slow down, learning how to be in the present moment, learning how to be an open conduit for the Spirit of God, learning how to be still and how to listen. As opposed to being the guy who always wants to talk. Thank you again for your lesson last week, Jenny. So today I'd like to just give you two tools. If you've taken my Enneagram class here at the church, you'll be familiar with the first one, which is we're just going to do a mindfulness exercise. And I use an app called Calm. There are many apps out there that you could use for mindfulness exercises, but today we're going to be using the Calm. I do this on the daily. After that, we're going to go in, and we've done this one again before here at church. We're going to go into what's known as the prayer of recollection, and it's a contemplative practice to shed ourselves of the false identities that we collect throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout our lives, and to really, and this is a word I use a lot, but to really recalibrate and get us back to center and finding that center and who we are at our center, at our core, and that is beloved of Christ. So again, we're going to move from a mindfulness, kind of this bigger picture, slowing down, coming into the present moment, following our breath, learning a little bit about perspectives. Then we're going to go into the prayer of recollection, shedding off our falsehoods, our false identities, reminding ourselves of our true nature, that we were made for union with God. And all the while, we're pushing ourselves ever closer towards the table. So we will end in communion, where we will have communion and union with God. Amen. So let me pray, and then I'm actually just going to put on a mindfulness exercise. For those of you that have never done mindfulness or whatever, and especially you've probably never done this in a church, for a lot of you, it might be kind of funky, and that's okay. We are all right with that. There's no perfect way of doing this. There's no right or wrong way of doing this. But you are being asked and invited to slow down, to focus your intention on your breathing, to come into the present moment, which is where God is waiting for us. So let me pray. Creator God, maker of the universe, creator of all things, Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to be alive. We thank you for the gift of life. Ruach, Holy Spirit, thank you for the breath of life. May we remember when we get caught up in our own narratives, in our own emotions. Remind us that you are as close as the breath. Remind us that in the beginning you breathed life into existence, into all. Inspire us to think creatively about our breath. Inspire us, Jesus. Come alive in us, that we might see the beautiful opportunities that we have with each breath you've given us. Opportunities to love the way that you do, to show grace, truth, forgiveness, compassion. Open us up, God, that we might be willing conduits of your Holy Spirit for our communities, for our households, for our world. Lord Jesus, when you were here on earth, you prayed, Father, may they be one as I am in you and you are in me. May they also be in us so that the world may believe. So, Father, as we pause, as we make ourselves still before you, as we focus on our breath, on your spirit, would you unify us with the mind and heart and soul of Christ? May it grow in us, not for our own benefit, God, but for the world. Amen.
Welcome to the Daily Calm. I'm Tamara Levitt, and today we'll explore the barriers of our limited perspective. Start by settling into a comfortable position and closing your eyes. Encourage your whole spine to lengthen upward, maintaining a sense of ease. Let your neck and shoulders soften. And rest your hands on your knees or cup them softly in your lap. And turn your attention to the breath. Become aware of the breath as it moves in and as it moves out. As you follow your breath, try to notice where you feel it the most. The place in your body that receives your breath with the least amount of effort. You might freely feel your breath as it enters and exits your nostrils. It may be clearest at the back of your nose or as it passes through your throat. Perhaps it's easiest to observe the rise and fall of your abdomen. Without overthinking it, let your attention rest in one place and follow the natural ebb and flow of your breath.
Even now, if you notice that your mind is wandering, it's okay. That's what the mind does. Just bring your attention back to the breath.
And when you notice your attention is no longer on your breath, and you've fallen into distraction, thinking, or worrying, simply guide yourself back to your inhales and exhales. Just return like a coming home, time and time again, to the breath as it flows in and as it flows out. Now gently relax your attention. Today, I'd like to talk about seeing beyond our limited perspective. And I'll start with a story. One day, a group of blind men came upon an elephant. The men were curious, as none had ever encountered one before. In order to learn what an elephant was, they each put their hands out to touch it. The man whose hands landed on the trunk said, "An elephant is like a thick snake." The next man reached out, placed his hands on the animal's ear, and said, "No, it's like a fan." The last man placed his hand upon its side and said, "An elephant is like a wall." As each man insisted that his perspective was the correct one, their differences descended into argument. Of course, each was correct in one way, but incorrect at the same time. And we all fall into this experience. As human beings, we tend to project our partial perspective as the whole truth, relying on our own sliver of experience. The result is, we make assumptions about the whole based on just one of its parts. Sometimes we do this with people, making judgments based solely on their age, appearance, or career. But our perspective has limits. In order to discover anything close to the whole truth, we must strive to consider as many different perspectives as we can. So the next time you find yourself in a disagreement, consider the possibility that both sides tell a part of the truth. Try to open yourself to ideas and perspectives that are outside your direct experience, stepping back from the single brushstroke to see the whole painting. As Neil Donald Walsh said, "I am telling you that your perception of ultimate reality is more limited than you thought, and that truth is more unlimited than you can imagine." Now, expand your attention widely and bring yourself back to the room. Wiggle your fingers and toes. And when you're ready, open your eyes.
So take a moment. We did this when we did the Enneagram lesson. Take a moment just to check in with your body. Take a moment just to notice how you feel. You might feel more present. Some of us reside a lot. We're up here. So maybe this time allowed you just to kind of come down and be very present in your bodies. Pay attention to your breath. Again, I don't want this just to be an experience that you have on a Sunday, maybe a one-off, but this is a tool. Relaxation. The present moment is as close as your breath. It is such a gift. Many of us parents and teachers, what we tell our kids and our students, just calm down and breathe. Just breathe. There's science to it. But there's not just science to it. It reminds you. Many of you know this. But the word for the Holy Spirit in Hebrew, Ruach, is the same word for breath. It is the gift that we get in the beginning. It's the gift we have all the way up until the end. And it's as close as right there, right here, right here. I give that to you as a gift because I don't know about you guys, but I recognize that I am living in a time where it does not take but 30 seconds into a conversation, into a commercial, into a social media post for me to experience something going on inside of here, an increased heart rate, followed by maybe an emotion of anger, frustration. And when I'm in that space, and this is part of the lessons we've been learning, when I'm in that space, I recognize that my ego is in charge. My ego is in the front seat. And as a follower of Christ, that's not my goal, to have my ego. In fact, it is my teacher, Jesus, who is the one that said, if you want to follow me, that you need to learn how to die to yourself. How to die to yourself. I shared this with you a few weeks ago. For me, the Enneagram, the tool of the Enneagram, has been such an objective tool to show me the parts of myself that are just strategies trying to navigate the world that my ego is using. And I bring that up right now because what so often happens for many of us is we begin to identify and over-identify with those behavioral patterns of our egos. Hence the reason for the mindfulness that I chose. Because when my ego is in full tact and I'm coming up against one of you, I'm not seeing your perspective. But I sure enough have enough energy to help you see my perspective, don't I? And I know that's not the way of Christ. So that first tool was teaching us how to observe our behavior, how to calm back down, get in our breath, come into the present moment. And it's there that I need to be reminded, and so this is another tool that I want to share with you guys. It's there that I need to be reminded of who my true identity is and rid myself, dust myself off of these false identities, both positive and negative, that I've collected, like I said earlier, throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month. So I'd like to move into a place where we're going to do, it's called a prayer of recollection. And this is adapted from Dr. Ko, who is a professor at the Institute for Spiritual Formation at Biola, at Talbot School of Theology. And I have a more precise version of this copied out. And there are handouts for you guys afterwards as well. But if you would join me, ideally, hopefully still kind of in that present moment. So God, our goal is you. Our goal is to be conduits, to be willing vessels of your life force, of your power, of your energy. This first part of the prayer is meant to open ourselves up to truth, that in Christ and by the means of the Christ in you, that you have already died along with Christ to that old nature. One of my mentors used to ask me, are you a son of Adam right now or a son of God? So this first part is recognizing that we don't have to be children of Adam. We don't have to identify as children of Adam. In fact, that has died along with Christ so that we can live in tune with God. And so as I pray this, if you're willing, make this your prayer silently as well. Ruach, Spirit of God, I am here. I present myself to you. Open my heart to the truth of what is going on in my life. Listen. portion is called a prayer of detachment. Again, if you're willing, pray this along with me internally. At the core of my spirit, I am no longer an angry person. At the core of my spirit, I am not a fearful person. At the core of my spirit, I am not a worrier. I am not arrogant. I am not prideful. At the core of my spirit, I'm not greedy, envious, distrustful, unkind, stingy, impatient. At the core of my spirit, I am not jealous, full of malice or wrath. At my core, my identity is no longer being a sinner. My identity is no longer wicked or rebellious, unloving. At the core of my spirit, I am not unlovable. Take a moment to continue that thought. At the core of my spirit, I am not. And think about some of your internal dialogue, your inner critic that likes to label you these things. Maybe it's a family member who's given you these labels, a coworker. Think about some of the positive accolade that you identify with. At the core of my spirit, I'm not a strong person. At the core of my spirit, I'm not the smartest one in the room. At the core of my spirit, I'm not the most gracious person. At the core of my spirit, I'm not a mom or a dad or a pastor or a teacher or an accountant. Called a prayer of detachment, and now we'll move into a prayer of attachment, where we affirm to our soul and to God our true identity. Pray along with me if you're willing. I am now clothed with the righteousness of the Christ, free from the guilt and shame, and full acceptance of God. I am precious in God's eyes. God calls me His beloved. That is who I am. And by the Spirit, at the core of my personality, I have put on their fruits of love, compassion, humility, kindness, forgiveness, gentleness, patience, self-control, peace, and goodness. That is who I truly am. I am made for union with the divine. I am made for union with God. He invites us into that dance. Father, may they be one. As I am in you and you are in me, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe. I am made for union with God. Let the mystery and weight of that just sit in that for a moment. We are made for union with God. This changes how we see one another. Changes what we notice about each other. We are made for union with God. Every one of us. Everybody has a seat at the table. Make it a goal today in your heart and in prayer to live out of this identity as beloved, to put off the old and put on the new by setting your mind continually on Christ, who is our life. And as the appropriate moments arise, to let go of any old self, old Adam ways, any of that old residue, and to live out who we are from our heart. And when you notice you're not living out of your heart, pause, follow the breath, come back to the present moment, have this inner dialogue, have this conversation with your Creator, recalibrate your identities. The last portion of the prayer of recollection is the prayer of obedience. You know the drill by now. If you're willing participants, go along with this in your mind. Lord God, may my mind and my heart and my body all day be open to Christ, who is my life. May I have the wisdom, when the time is right, to lay aside the old person residue and its ways and to simply put on Christ. To obey you in all things and to reaffirm who I really am in Christ. Lord, have mercy. Pretty cool thing when a bunch of people get together and focus on something else other than themselves or their screens for a chance. I hope in this spirit of Christ and union with Christ that we can end our time together here in communion. So those of you that are not at tables, we have some communion set up at tables, and then there's a little table up here and a table up here. Do we have people that are going to be given today? Yeah, cool. Can we get someone there and someone over at this one? And when you feel led, friends, feel free to grab the bread and the cup And I'll remind you why we do this. In this meal, we remember the life, death, and resurrection of the one who still takes on flesh among us today. On the night he would be arrested, Jesus gathered his friends and companions. In the midst of a tense and dangerous time, they found each other at a table, connecting over the story of God enfleshed among them. As they did so, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to God, broke the bread, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he also took the cup, gave thanks to God, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Would you go ahead and grab, guys? And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, breath of God, renewer of life, settle on these gifts and all who gather here, that we might be transformed in our remembrance of your radical love, your eternal embrace, and your grace that makes all things new. For the sake of our shared lives, the life of this land on which we live, and the lives of those yet to come, nourish us and renew our hope that soon Christ may rise again among us. Amen. Creator God, I'm thankful for the story you've given us. And thank you for the trajectory of the story. I'm thankful that that story took on flesh. And so we thank you, God, for the life, the teachings, the sacrifice, the death and resurrection of Jesus. May his spirit grow in us. May the Christ come alive in us. That we might be Holy Communion to a people that so desperately need it. God, keep us aligned to you. I know that in about an hour, we're going to get bombarded with stuff. Temptations and invitations to step away from our true identities and back into those other roles that we play. Pray that your spirit would encourage us in those moments to pause, to access you, to recalibrate, and to be reminded that we are made for union with you. May we grow in the knowledge and understanding of that message. May it impact not only our minds, but our hearts and our actions, and all those we come in contact with. In the mighty and holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Friends, that's it. I hope that you can maintain this posture if you need to sit quietly for a little bit. I don't think we're doing an after thing today, no? No. So enjoy your time. Stick around. Come say hi. Glad you were here. God bless you.